Well, thanks for being here tonight, everyone. Glad to see you. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 tonight. I appreciate you being faithful as you come along on Wednesdays. I know that just thinking about today, how no doubt you're feeling a little bit, you know, like the middle of the week, and maybe you're feeling a little weary, and you've been working hard, and I'm going to talk a little bit about rest this evening. But if you look at Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read verses 8 to 11, and we're looking at the fourth commandment. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And we see this as part of the Ten Commandments, the summary in which of really we look at God's standard of things. And this particular commandment is sometimes, I think, one of the commandments we sort of ignore. And we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. You know, we read that and we understand God's pattern in it. We know, and God himself records it, that he patterned it right from the beginning, this idea of the Sabbath. He rested. And in many ways, you think about that, he's God, and yet we find him in creation, in which really he didn't really bring him to any kind of feeling of effort. You think about God, he spoke and then it came to be. And yet he rests. That's the infinite, almighty, all-powerful God rests. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the Sabbath. And you might be looking at your notes. I know someone's already brought it to my attention. That's a lot of notes for Wednesday, Pastor. There is. And so you're going to need to follow along, because I might have to go really fast tonight. All right, but Every generation reveals its idols by what it refuses to surrender. You know, ancient civilizations, they revealed their beliefs through carved images, pagan temples, ritual sacrifices, and we think about that as something that has gone by. But here's what we do. Modern society reveals its gods through exhaustion. You know, we're living in a world that can't stop. Silence terrifies people. Stillness, there's this guilt. We feel unproductive. And rest maybe feels irresponsible. And what we've done, we've confused activity with fruitfulness. We've confused connectivity with fellowship, with busyness, with significance, and stimulation with life, and productivity with identity. You know what the world is? The modern world is Pharaoh with Wi-Fi. And ancient Egypt demanded bricks without rest. You know what modern culture does? It demands performance without silence. And the slave masters have changed forms, but the spirit is very familiar. And you think about it again, as the nation of Israel were leaving Egypt after the 400 years of bondage, we understand they were under a taskmaster that didn't allow them to rest. And so this command to them would have been very significant, because they never had rest. They never could rest under the bondage of Pharaoh. And so what he does is he gives this explicitly, but we're living in that same world. You know, we might not be in Egypt. We might not have whips that are being cracked toward us, but we're still exhausted. We're still living in a world that exhaustion has become almost a badge of honor. And we live in the most connected age in human history, yet many people are more tired, more distracted, and more restless than ever. Data Reportal Digital, in their 2025 Global Overview report, found that adult internet users, get this, spend an average of 6 hours and 38 minutes online each day. Now, I share that. That's not just a technology statistic. Think about it. You spend that much, it's a discipleship statistic. It tells us how much of modern life is now mediated through screens, through scrolling, through comparison, through consumption, and through this stimulation. And yet tonight, we've got to handle the commandment carefully. Please hear me. I'm not preaching that Christians are under the Jewish Sabbath. All right, we're going to look at that. We understand biblically that the Sabbath was given to Israel. And so really, when we consider Saturday, the Sabbath, we're not just speaking about simple taking Saturday off. Okay, so the Sabbath was given to Israel. It was a sign between God and that particular nation, and it belonged to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament system. And the New Testament, it plainly tells us not to let any man judge us in respect of days of Sabbath days. And so because these things that we're looking at were a shadow of things to come, we're going to see that the Sabbath command isn't binding on the church as it was upon Israel, but the truths it revealed, they're actually still very desperately needed. See, the Sabbath teaches us that man is limited, God is sufficient, and labor is good, but worship is greater. And the soul, it can only find its deepest rest in Christ. So the question that we're considering tonight isn't just that are Christians required to keep the Sabbath? That's not the question tonight. The question is, why has modern man become incapable of resting in God at all? And so firstly, as I mentioned regarding the Sabbath, it was a sign. But it's not our Savior. All right, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fourth commandment was given with that covenant that God made with Israel. In Exodus 31:13, verily Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you through your generations. And so the Sabbath wasn't just a new wellness principle, right? It wasn't an ancient day off. Who doesn't like a day off? It wasn't just a family rhythm. No, it's more than that. It was a covenant sign between God and Israel. So Israel keeping it was a demonstration of their agreement to God. Okay, and so the Sabbath marked Israel as God's covenant people. And so every seventh day, the Saturday, Israel was reminded, really this, we belong to the Lord. Them practicing the Sabbath was them declaring each time that they belong to God. And so consequently, this is a reminder that really, for them, they were no longer Pharaoh's slaves. They were belonging to God. And that they were sanctified to God, and that their life is not sustained by Egypt. No, their lives, they're provisions that come from the good hand of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 5:15, the Bible just simply reminds them, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. That's really the contrast in which God was giving by this command. It really connects the Sabbath directly with Israel's deliverance from Egypt. He was saying to them, look, listen, you were under the heavy hand of that taskmaster that made it mandated that you were not to rest, that you were constantly laboring. Hey, sometimes we imagine the ancient world like our world today, like there was some sort of labor agreement between Pharaoh and the Israelites. No, there was not such a thing. Pharaoh ruled with a heavy hand. And it even got to the point where he took away the straw from their brick making to just make it even harder for them. That was the general attitude. These were slaves. And so that means the Sabbath, it wasn't just some rhythm that was patterned in creation. It was also about a reminder that they were now redeemed, that they're no longer under that system, that they can live a different way, they can rest now. Israel was to stop because God had delivered them from the system that wouldn't let them stop. So what God was doing, God patterned rest before he legislated rest. He patterned that. We read that. He even refers to it in the Ten Commandments. But in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible simply tells us on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and he rested. And again, just think about that. God didn't rest because he was tired. Listen, the everlasting God, Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord fainteth not, neither is weary. You understand we have an inexhaustible God in the sense that he is never exhausted. He doesn't lose power. He doesn't lose his nature because of the work that he has, unlike us. Listen, he didn't need rest, and so why was he doing it? It wasn't recovery from exhaustion. He was revealing something. God was establishing order. And what he was saying with that is this: man is not God. Only God can sustain all things without ceasing. For him, it was optional. And what it was, the Sabbath was meant to be a humbling for man. It reminded him weekly that you are a creature. You are finite. You are dependent. And you are not the source of your own life. But listen, that's deeply offensive to the modern man. Why? Because modern culture tells people that everything depends on you. But actually, God built a rhythm, a pattern into creation that says work is good, labor matters, and responsibility is honorable, but you are still not God. You still need to rest. You know, that's why I think as well God patterned the week to exist in days. From the beginning, there was day and night. Right? Built into the rhythm of creation was this understanding that man needed to rest. And so this means that the Sabbath really is not just a good idea, it was a shadow. God was going to speak to about the Sabbath for a greater thing. Look at Colossians, and we'll turn our Bibles to a few places tonight. Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And look how explicit God is. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So he's saying, look, understand what the Sabbath is. It's a shadow. It's not the substance. A shadow is the image of what is the greater thing, right? And so Paul doesn't say the Sabbath was meaningless. It's not that we just ignore it. No, he's saying that it was a shadow. And a shadow is real, but it isn't the substance. A shadow points to something greater than itself. And so the Sabbath was pointing somewhere, and it was pointing to Christ. And so here's the thing that we've got to avoid. Right? We've got to avoid two errors as a result of what we understand about Sabbath. Firstly, we've got to avoid legalism. Legalism says Christians must keep the Sabbath as Israel did. And some go to that degree. But the New Testament doesn't put the church under Mosaic Sabbath law. That's not ours. God was very explicit that the Sabbath was a sign between he and Israel. But here's where I need to warn you tonight. Here's the other error, carelessness. Like that, well, I read that, but Pastor, why are we even covering it? Listen, we'll talk about that. That's another error, though, carelessness. You know, if the Sabbath is fulfilled in Christ, then there's nothing to learn from it, is the attitude. But I'm telling you, that's careless. Because the Sabbath still teaches. See, God, again, made man with limits. And rest, think about this, rest requires trust. The very fact that they practiced the Sabbath was all about their trust in God. Like, it doesn't make sense, right? Do you mean that I'm more effective doing 6 out of 7 days? Do you mean I'm better because I rest that day? And what he was saying was worship, it's got to interrupt labor. The soul, it shouldn't be enslaved to production. And God's people, they've got to remember ultimately that they need to trust him and they belong to him. God knows what's best for you. But see, the reality is we're still under a modern Pharaoh. And he's the same. He never lets us rest. I referred to it earlier, but the story is really in Exodus chapter 5, where Pharaoh says this, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick." You know, again, if you want to understand the spirit of modern restlessness, it's really pictured in Pharaoh. Pharaoh's system was built on relentless production. And again, he records there in Exodus 5:17, Pharaoh's attitude towards his enslaved people, Israel. He tells them, "You are idle, you're idle." Hey, he's talking to the people who are working 7 days a week. And he's saying, "You're idle. You're not good enough. You're not working hard enough." And that spirit is still here. That's the language of slavery. And Pharaoh interprets rest as laziness. Pharaoh interprets worship as wasted time. And again, that spirit has never really disappeared. It's only changed uniforms. See, the modern world is Pharaoh with Wi-Fi. Modern bondage, it uses this, uses stimulation. See, ancient bondage said, "Make bricks." Modern bondage says, "Answer this email, check this message, watch this reel, refresh this feed, reply now, stay available, stay visible, stay updated." Anyone stressed out yet? Microsoft Works Trend Index described the rise of the infinite workday, noting that some heavily messaged workers receive 275 pings a day from meetings, emails, and chats, with interruption during core work hours arriving about every 2 minutes. That's how the connected world that we live in. And I'm saying that's not just busyness, that's fragmentation. That's breaking us up. Many people, they're not just tired from working hard. You know what they're tired from? Their minds are never left alone. The phone has become both servant and taskmaster. And the problem isn't just that we use technology. The problem is that technology often abuses us. And listen, constant stimulation is not the same as rest. You know, many people think they're resting when they're only escaping, right? I just need to unwind. I just need to scroll. I just need to watch some. I just need background noise. But after hours of entertainment, what happens? You're still weary. Why? Because distraction and escapism, it can't restore the soul. You could spend all week binge watching the latest, and you know what? You'll walk away, you're not rested. Listen, the soul wasn't made for stimulation. The soul was made for communion with God. That's why he says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Again, the order, "be still," comes before "know." And there's a kind of knowledge of God that restless people rarely cultivate. Why is it that we opine about the depths of some of our modern songs? And I'm not against all modern songs. But sometimes you listen to a modern song and they just don't have the depth that the hymns have. Why? Because we're restless. We want instant. We want production. And there's a depth of prayer that constant noise interrupts. There's a tenderness of conscience that perpetual distraction dulls. There's a clarity of soul that only comes when Pharaoh's voice gets quiet enough for God's word to be heard. You know, I was reading this week about how in 1938, the whole idea of an 8-hour sleep was born. And you know where it was born? It wasn't scientific. It was from a mattress company. A mattress company engaged the health organization in the U.S. And they paid them to make the statement that a good night is an 8-hour rest. But if you do some research, actually over history, there's a pattern in history where people actually slept early, woke up at midnight after a 4-hour rest, and they called the time between 12 and 2 in the morning the God hours. And then from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, most people then slept. And for the human history up until 1938, that was a commonly accepted pattern. And if you look at that, there's research to show that your brain activity is best between midnight and 2 a.m. You know who practiced that? Some of the greatest writers in history. Shakespeare practiced that. That's, you're probably looking at me like, that's why those stories don't make sense, right? Now listen, some of the greatest inventions came. And if you look at your Bibles, there was just times where people were up at midnight. So you know what I've been doing? I tried it for the last couple of days. And honestly, it's been revolutionary. Because it's quiet. There's no noise. You know, you turn your phone away and you can't... Everyone else is sleeping and it is God hours. There's a sense. And there was productivity. There's stuff. That's why I had so many notes for this message. Because this was born out of that. And I'm saying that throughout the course of history, there's a rhythm that we've become alienated from. And I'm saying that there is a need for rest, but the way we are is so manipulated by this idea that productivity is king. And Christ, really, he corrected the abuse of Sabbath rest. You know, by the time Jesus came, the Pharisees had turned Sabbath into a burden. And yet the Bible tells us in Mark 2:27-28, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know, again, Jesus wasn't dismissing the Sabbath. He was clarifying it. And what happened was the Sabbath wasn't designed to crush man under religious anxiety. That's what it was. You know, if you look at, and I've never been to Israel, I've heard that when Sabbath happens over there, the Orthodox Jews, they can't even press a button to go up an elevator. Because it had become so legislated, and so even rest had become stressful. It was made for man. It was meant to bless. It was meant to restore. It was meant to remind man of God. And the Pharisees made rest into paranoia. And you know what modern culture does? It makes rest into guilt. You feel guilty because you're not doing anything. And I'm saying that both are wrong. The Pharisees say you may not rest freely. Pharaoh says you may not rest at all. But you know what Jesus says? Come unto me. He says, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, what we find is we have a hustle culture. We're constantly hustling. Right? Hustle culture is a false gospel. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127, verse 2, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. And modern culture doesn't just tolerate exhaustion. You know what it does? It often celebrates it. Have you ever heard yourself say this? You know, we subtly communicate the importance of that through our busyness. We say, oh, I'm flat out. We never said, you know, we had a pretty balanced week. We're always, I'm flat out. Oh, I'm running on no sleep. That's why you're goofy, all right? But we're always saying those things. Like a badge of honor. I'm grinding, you know. I'm just in the grind. And listen, I'm not saying be lazy. But here's the problem. Fatigue has become a badge of significance. And hustle culture preaches its own false gospel. It says this, your worth is your output. Your identity is your achievement. Your value is your visibility. Your future depends entirely upon you. And if you stop, oh, you'll fall behind. If you rest, someone else will overtake you. You see, the Bible does honor work, but it rejects anxious striving. See, we mustn't preach laziness. That's not what we're saying. The Bible honors labor. Proverbs 13, for the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So the issue isn't whether Christians should work hard. That's not what I'm saying. We should. Christians should be faithful workers. They should be diligent employees. They should serve wholeheartedly. They should labor in ministry. They should steward time, though. They should steward their gifts. They should steward their families, their responsibilities, and their opportunities. But I'm saying there's a difference between diligence and self-diligence and self-dependence. Diligence says, I will labor faithfully under God. Self-dependence, though, says everything depends on me. And diligence is stewardship. Self-dependence is idolatry. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I'm saying that the issue isn't labor. The issue is labor without the Lord. See, and I know this, even ministry can become restless. And this is where we've got to be careful. We can condemn the world's hustle culture while baptizing our own version of it in ministry language. And I think Martha would come to mind, right? She was cumbered about with much serving. And she wasn't cumbered about sin. She was cumbered about serving. But service had become disordered. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and that was the thing that was needful. And again, that whole story doesn't condemn service. What it does, though, it restores order. Service must flow from communion. You know, there's so many, though, of those who minister, and ministry has become an idol. When service replaces communion, then really the soul becomes anxious, resentful, and weary. And here's what I'm saying. Some Christians just don't need another ministry slot. They need to sit at Jesus' feet again. Some pastors don't need another strategy first. They need prayer again. Some families don't need more activity. They need peace of God back in the home. And some believers don't need a longer to-do list. They need the Word of God to renew the inner man. But here's the problem. Rest requires humility. See, rest isn't merely a schedule issue. It's a trust issue. You know, why do people struggle to stop? Because stopping exposes what they believe. If I can't stop, perhaps I believe God won't provide unless I panic. My identity will collapse unless I perform. My worth depends on my output. My absence will ruin everything. How many pastors have pushed through because, you know, the church needs them? Oh, if I'm not there, the thing falls apart. Listen, really? You? Finite you? Not infinite God? And I'm saying that the world needs me to rest in Him. And yet sometimes what we say is the world needs me more than I realize. But you know what that is? That's pride. That's pride wearing clothes of responsibility. Here's what rest requires. It requires humility. Why? Because rest admits, I'm not sovereign. I'm not infinite. I'm not indispensable. Why? Because I'm not God. You know, Gallup, another research firm on the state of global workplace, their 2026 report reports that 40% of employees globally experienced significant stress the previous day. And again, that number doesn't establish what we're saying here, but it does illustrate the world that the scripture already understands, that finite man collapses when he tries to live as if he were infinite. See, the Sabbath principle stands really as a rebuke to the restless souls. It says, stop. Stop trying to be God. Stop justifying yourself through exhaustion. Stop confusing busyness with fruitfulness and letting Pharaoh define your worth. But see, Christ is the rest that the Sabbath was preaching. We won't turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 4, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For we which believed do enter into rest. Now we come to it. Come to the crux. The Sabbath wasn't ultimately fulfilled by better time management. You know, it was fulfilled in Christ. See, the ancient Sabbath pointed beyond itself. It pointed to a greater rest. Not merely a rest of a day. Not just the rest of extra sleep. Not the rest of a holiday. Not just the rest of fewer responsibilities. It pointed to the soul's rest in Christ's finished work. See, under the law, rest followed labor. In creation, God worked and then rested. Israel worked 6 days and then rested on the seventh. There was a pattern, labor then rest. But think about this. In the gospel, the opposite is true. We rest because Christ labored. We don't begin with our work, we begin with his work. We don't work to earn acceptance, we rest in the acceptance Christ purchased. We don't labor to save ourselves, we rest in the salvation Christ accomplished. We don't strive to justify ourselves, what we do is we rest in the righteousness of the anchor of our souls. Hey, listen, Christ finished the work. He said it, John 19:30, it is finished. You know what that is? That's a great Sabbath cry of redemption. The work was done. The debt was paid. The sacrifice was accepted. The wrath was satisfied. The veil was rent. The way was opened. The Savior had completed what sinners could never accomplish. But you know, religion without Christ says do more, try harder, prove yourself, clean yourself up, climb higher, make more bricks. But you know what Jesus said? It's finished. Rest. Rest in me. And really, Christ does invite the weary. He calls us in Matthew 11 to come unto him and rest. All that labor, all that are heavy laden. And I'm not saying just physical tiredness, that's soul weariness. You know, we have a world that's weary from sin, weary from guilt, weary from trying to prove themselves, weary from religious fear, weary from carrying burdens God never gave them, weary from trying to be strong all the time, weary from living under the voice of Pharaoh with a Wi-Fi. And yet Christ says, come unto me. See, the Christian Sabbath isn't fundamentally a day to preserve. Here's what I'm saying for us Christians. It's a Savior to trust. Listen, his yoke gives rest, not slavery. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he says, you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Christ doesn't call us to laziness. He calls us into his yoke. A yoke means there's still labor. There's still obedience. There's still discipleship. There's still service. But now the labor is different. You know why? It's not labor for self. It's not labor just with ourselves. It's not the labor of self-justification. It's not the labor of previous bondage. We labor in grace now. We labor next to Christ in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, the rest that modern man doesn't understand is this. See, the Christian may be physically tired and inwardly renewed. The Christian may serve sacrificially and not live as a slave. Why? Because ultimately, church, Christ is our rest. And we can rest in our labors in him. We can rest in the weariness. We can reject the world's system. We can reject Pharaoh's voice. We don't have to live that way. We can rest in him. And the fourth commandment, really, it does this. It confronts one of our society, our modern society's deepest illusions. The belief that endless activity can save the soul. Don't we say that? When we're witnessing to someone, we say it's not of works. But yet, here's what we do. We justify ourselves with overwork. See, exhausted societies reveal the cruelty of that lie. Modern culture worships speed, productivity, visibility, stimulation. perpetual performance. But beneath all of that noise stands weary humanity, no longer knowing how to be still, how to be quiet, how to worship, how to rest in God. The Sabbath was a sign to Israel. It was a shadow fulfilled in Christ. It's not placed upon us as a church, as a law, but it still stands as a witness against every Pharaoh who tells man he can't stop. It reminds us that man is finite, but God is sufficient. Work is good, but worship is better. Labor matters, but dependence matters more. You know, the world is still saying, make bricks, while Christ is speaking to us and saying, come unto me. The world's still saying, never stop. And here's Jesus saying, I will give you rest. The world is still Pharaoh with a Wi-Fi, but Jesus Christ is still Lord of the Sabbath. So again, we finish. The question isn't just, do you take a day off? The question is deeper than that. Here's a question: can your soul rest in Christ? Have you ceased from trying to save yourself? Have you stopped trying to prove your worth by your exhaustion? Have you followed noise to replace communion? Have you confused activity with fruitfulness? Have you become so connected to everything else that you're disconnected from God? See, only slaves believe they can't stop. And only Christ can free the soul from the endless burden of that self-effort and self-salvation. And I want to close with that verse: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Savior, Jesus. And Father, this world drives us to endlessly weary ourselves, endlessly put forward the labors without the benefit of rest. I pray that you'd help us to reject those voices. And Lord, to have the right balance, to have the right restfulness in you. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to condition our hearts not to be full of pride for our achievements, but Father, to just simply slow down long enough to see that our worth is found in our rest in you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for your sustaining grace each day. Pray that you'd bless each one, bless our week ahead. Help us to walk with you like we should. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.